Storm, you're late.
There we go. Yeah, Storm was late, guys. He was late. Again. Constantly late. Every single time.
That was Core being late. Thank you very much.
A raven is never late. He arrives exactly when needed.
Bullshit. That's the Griffin saying.
All right.
Welcome to the party, everyone. How are you guys doing this week?
We're back after last week's actually really good live episode.
It was good for the first live episode. Next, we learned a lot.
Oh, yeah. That totally means the next live episode, train wreck. Just downhill from here, guys.
Yes, yes. We are sorry that this episode came out too good.
By downhill, we mean we take Core's computer down with the episode, so it'll be great. We'll just go down in a ball of fury greatness.
No, I love my computer.
There'll be so many birds connecting to it at once. We just bring it down with feathers flying everywhere.
Oh, this is just great.
So how's your guys' week been?
Well,
let's see. Let's see. I got some interesting
news. No, hang on.
Fleeks.
Hang on. Both of you at the same time. Go.
So I actually
I went to
booked my flight to
Good times. All right. So this is episode 61 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
And I'm the Yearny of Surrey.
He's Storm.
Our eagle hawk's beaks pointed up, with pride we cry. Horizon ahead, wings spread out, we claim the sky. Badania, Badania, all glory to Badania. Badania, Badania, forever free Badania. Badania, Badania, all glory to Badania. Badania, Badania, forever free Badania. Beeping.
Okay, legitimately, how was your guys' week? Yeah, starting, go ahead, Storm.
Yeah, I'm the ultimate beak. Let's see. I just got back from visiting the beak doctor.
Yes.
Who gave my beak a nice polishing and told me I'm doing a good job taking care of it. It's always good to hear. And more exciting news, I just paid my taxes, which I know that that's
dude, it's
so
March.
Exciting.
It's almost April. It could not be more down to the wire.
No, down to the wire is paying your taxes 2 days before it's due. I pay them in March, so that means I still have about a month. So, and unlike most people, I actually have to pay taxes. I don't get a refund because I'm self-employed. So, yeah, taxes are a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's no fun. But that's like life on the edge for me right there, man. Like, if I don't have my taxes filed by the end of January, like, okay, my employer didn't send me my W-2s until, like, January 22nd, and I was, like, freaking out. But that's just me.
Well, see, but Core, you know, you're one of those people that you're in a catch-22, because if you're like me and own a home, or you have any other type of advanced tax scenario, and the government's fucking with the tax code, which they have. There were several changes that
came through in
February that mean everyone that filed prior to that had to go back and correct their tax form. So it's just like, fuck this. I'll wait till March.
That I was not aware of, but okay. Credit due then. And kidding. Like, all joking aside, probably if I owned a business, I would wait a little bit later into the season just to make sure that I had everything on my end in order. So you're probably making a very good business move. My guess.
Yeah. Aside from that, I went and I got, I upgraded my identification card to a secure ID in Indiana. Woohoo! So I'll get a special star in my license now. And for our international listeners, what that means in plain English is after 9/11, the federal government in the U.S. required all IDs in the country to be upgraded with identity document verification that's run through the Department of Homeland Security. And when you go through this bureaucratic bullshit, what they do is on your ID is you get this shiny, awesome little star. So I'm going to have a star, and I'm really happy about my star because stars are great.
Hi. Let me grab my wallet really quick. Fleeks, why don't you tell us about your tax stuff?
My tax stuff? I don't have any tax stuff to do at the moment.
Give us German tax advice. We want to know. How does it work? Tell us the greatness.
I never filled out a tax form or anything, but I will have to do that soon, I assume, when I start my business. And I'm actually was busy the whole week with, like, first of all, planning a Kickstarter I'm working on for something I want to do in the future, and I will tell about that more in a later episode. And I was recording a first episode of a project with Adler the Eagle. And awesome. Then I also booked a flight to the US, so that means I will be in the US at AntroCon.
God help
and I also finally got some decent concept art for a species I'm creating right now. That were the most exciting parts of my week. The rest was mostly practicing drawing and everything.
Cool. Yes.
Not very exciting, but for me, it was kind of an exciting week.
Actually, no, there is a lot of exciting things that I'm going to touch on in just a second. But I'm looking at my ID right now. There's like, okay, Storm, describe your star. Is it like a physical, like, printed star on there somewhere?
Yes, in the state of Indiana, the way they've done it is on the upper right-hand corner of the ID, you'll literally see a star printed.
Ah, okay. I'm guessing, I just really want my ID to have a star on it. I'm actually kind of jealous. The only star that I see on my ID is kind of, Utah does like this intricate webbing in the background of like the ID itself. Like there's I guess it would be like the fingerprint of the ID. But in that fingerprint pattern, there is a star, but it's not really a super visible one. It's just kind of there slightly.
Hey, I put the image in the... that for us.
I want that star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Aside from that, I have been busy chirping about preening my nest and being a pretty bird. What about you, Cor?
I actually just got finished cleaning my nest as well.
Yes.
I did want to say, so Fleeks is confirmed for AC. I think Tiersel is too, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay, and Storm and I are both trying. We're both attempting to get to AC. But yes, we've kind of had this plan in the back of our minds that we wouldn't really rent a panel, I don't think, but we would do some sort of impromptu bird life live there if we all happen to make it. And as of last night, things are actually looking a little more up for me to actually be able to make it to AnthroCon.
Nice.
So
that's a good thing.
I would be really excited to meet Fleeks and Tiersel in person, and Storm as well. Possibly room bunking with Storm if we can't find anybody.
Yeah, we can work that out.
Right, buddy? All right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to get, like, air fresheners for rooming with a griffin.
Excuse me?
Oh, shit, I said that out loud. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I'll let you know, I keep one of the cleanest hotel rooms of any fur con I've ever gone to.
He's going to throttle me. I'm going to show up at the con. We're going to get into the room. And just as soon as that door closes, he's just going to by the neck.
No. Basically, as long as you don't shake the walls with your glorious bird snoring at night, we'll get along just fine.
I can't say I don't snore, but it's just a very faint like.
Oh, no. You can snore. Listen, you can snore. That's fine. But if you go... We're gonna have a conversation.
I do not have. Shit, I forgot. What is it? COPD? Yeah, COPD. I do not have COPD. Don't worry.
Okay. I'll. Then we'll get along just fine.
Okie dokie.
And our room will be the party. We'll have all the feathers flying out of the room. It'll be great.
All right, Fleeks, you had an idea for this week.
Oh, yeah. It's not a fresh idea, but I would like to... we would like to talk about fandoms again, because we are practically somehow... In the last episode, we kind of dived into the video game-related fandoms more than anything. And I think that there are a few fandoms that are really worth talking about. I haven't really found any hilarious fandoms anymore.
See, I'm hearing this, and I can't think... Like, I can't help but think... Furries criticizing other fandoms on the internet.
No, we are not criticizing them. We are talking about them.
Fair enough.
We are talking about them.
Well, you're talking about them. I'm criticizing them. I'm judging them.
and actually, the first fandom... I mean, of course, I researched a bit, but... the first fandom that actually came to my mind when I thought about this episode is the Moomin fandom. And I'm sure you can participate on that core.
Wait, there's actually a Moomin fandom?
Yes, and there's actually an animated series called Moomin Valley upcoming. And you should know what? That.
What
can someone fill me in? Moomin
is a... I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head because it's not really my thing, but it's certainly someone who is significant to my life. It's her thing. Moomin is a television show that was like in the late 80s, made in Sweden. And it looks like a really cute show. It's these trolls, but they're not really trolls. They look more like snuggly cows than anything else.
I always thought they looked like hippos.
Actually hippos would be a good description. White hippos. I think it's basically Sweden's version of Arthur the Aardvark. Because it's kind of like just general slice of life stuff, but made for kids, you know?
Yeah, and my mom always sung the intro because she catched an earworm, like, of this. And she kind of, it was very popular in Germany. And...
Very popular pretty much all over Europe, but it never even graced the U.S.
Yeah, the U.S. It's a disappointment when some of those shows just don't grace our borders. You know, I don't know who decides what shows we're worthy of getting here, but they really miss out on some good stuff.
give me just a second, and I copy you a Moomin in the chat. Well, that's a good thing that we can do this, actually.
That was actually something I was doing as well. I got it. Here we go. Oh, damn it, Fleeks. You've beat me.
That's a Moomin.
That is a Moomin.
What? That's like a hippo.
They're advertised as trolls.
And this tiny human with the red hair, I forgot her name, but or his name, I'm not entirely sure. I can remember was angry.
So, from what I understand, in Sweden, there is a Moomin world. Like, a little tiny... Like, it's not even a Disney... Like, no, it's not. It's small. It's more like the size of a park here in the U.S., where there's just, like, kind of a casual strolling area. But, like, they recreated the set of, like, Moomin. So, you got the windmill, the bridge, the beautiful fields kind of thing.
Yeah.
It really actually kind of surprises me that there's a fandom based off of it.
Core, love you to pieces, but
okay, maybe surprised was a bit of an up there word, but like
this is 2018. Come on, dude.
It just seems pretty one-off, you know?
There's a Doge fandom, for fuck's sake.
There's Dogecoin.
No,
Dogecoin.
No. If you can think of it, and then you can rule 34 it, you can fandom it. Trust me.
And rule 34 is, well, you already know it. So, it exists.
Yes.
Tell us more about this Moomin fandom, please.
Yes, please enlighten me. I need to know.
I did not find any cons or something they have, but they have their own wiki and make theories and... There are even a lot of people that are crafting Moomins and selling Moomin plushies that they made custom made, and there are even people that have Moomin Sonas.
Of course.
But, yeah. And actually, that's a very, very. I think that fandom is mostly made of females, but I'm not entirely sure. Give me a second.
It's a safe place for them. Let's give them this. Let's let them have this and not ruin it with dicks. Please.
Yes, no porn for movements, please. But I'm pretty sure they already exist.
Probably.
But I don't even want to.
Oh, God, yes. To, you know.
But ignore it. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yes. That's an adorable children's show.
This page is in Swedish. I need to translate it to something I can understand. Let's see. Kind of Municipality presents Moomin in Guadagodon in Rufisoa at 28 October 14. A fun Moomin music with singing dance music. Join the popular figures in Moomin World with Moomin on new adventure and adventures. Wow.
Oh. Okay. I actually might have a little
same
bit.
Words.
I might have to actually invest a little bit into this fandom because there is a Moomin Cafe. With t-shirts and mugs.
Also, they have a Moomin charity. They have an official Moomin fan club. They have mugs. That's important. Every fandom needs mugs.
Yes.
And
Fleeks, why don't we have Bird Life mugs yet?
I can do that. And tomorrow we have tomorrow after this episode airs.
Okay, for real, if we do actually come out with mugs, one, I'm going to buy a dozen. Not even kidding you about that. Two, we can't have, like, the small little dinky, like, teaser. We got to have, like, big, real coffee mugs. Like, ones that will hold.
How about travel mugs and yeah.
We need different size mugs for small birds, medium birds, and griffins.
Actually,
we need different mugs.
No, Fleeks is onto something because the travel mug thing is actually a cool, clever way to like disguise maybe slipping a little bit of Kahlua in there because then you don't have to worry about it like spilling and smelling and stuff like that.
Yeah,
or, you know, it doesn't even have to be Kahlua and coffee. It can be whatever you want. And then when we do go to AC and we have this this impromptu meetup, we can all hold up our Bird Life mugs and various liquids inside.
So I will show you something and you will be like, wow, I found something. And where's it? There.
So for people trying to keep up with the show, because we're kind of actually relying a little bit too much on visual here, Moomin is spelled Moomin. So you can
in
Google
English,
it and kind of keep up with it ourselves.
Moomin. Wait, I get it. Wait. If they're mooing, does that mean they're like cows?
They don't moo. But they do kind of look like a cow
hippos.
But
they call them Moomins.
They look like cow hippos.
They are Moomins. And in Germany, they are actually written with U. Muumin. So, and I don't even know what the original, how it's written in the original. But yeah, they have a Moomin shop. I just figured out. A Moomin dedicated shop in some mall in some,
so
probably
like,
somewhere in Scandinavia.
When my hyena
this
hears
like
this episode,
Disney,
she's
this...
going to lose her shit.
In Helsinki.
This is like the Disney store, but for Moomin.
It is. That's big. There's lots of Moomin things in there.
Oh my god. And I just learned that Moomins are really, really huge in China.
Well, of course. Wait, China, not Japan?
No, China. I'm not sure how it is in Japan, but...
I mean, if China's
That's
taken
impressive.
Off it, I can only imagine, like, Japan
just
be
going like
absolutely wild. About it.
The shop in Helsinki seems to be targeted especially at Chinese.
well, you know, when you think about it, the Chinese are making most of the stuff anyway, so they get a good deal on it.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, a lot of merchandise is made in China because it's cheap. And they actually do a good job if they make the original productions. The bootlegs are mostly not of such a high quality. I saw an God of War backpack once in at some market in Berlin where the people import Asian wares, and it did not say God of War in it said Glossy Bird.
Oh, China.
Yeah. Have you played Glossy Bird already?
So, you know, we have this ongoing joke on the internet about, you know, these Chinese knockoff t-shirts and stuff like that. Why isn't that actually a trend here in the U.S.? Because I would do this. I would totally order, like, all these weird shirts that, you know, have, like, pop culture characters on them with really off-the-cuff, like, commentation.
Yes.
And I would wear the hell out of those. I can't see why other people aren't like, yeah, let's do this. This is fun.
Well,
like in the spirit of irony, come on.
Well, Court, last
ooh,
week
I actually may have just dipped a toe onto the side of the hipster things.
Yeah, well, Court, last week when I was in Frankenmuth, Michigan last week. Oh, and that's a story in itself. But when I was up there, they had a store called the Frankenmuth Travel Center, and the Frankenmuth downtown is steamed German. So you got all these German shops and whatnot, and there's this import shop full of nothing but Chinese knockoff shirts. Literally, what you just described is what this store does. All Chinese knockoff shirts, and they are absolutely hilarious. You'd have a blast.
I'm going to have to go there. I'm going to have to spend like $200 on really bad t-shirts.
Yep. And if they don't have it, they can make it, which is pretty cool.
I mean, when you got your own printer press, but then it's not authentic.
Yes.
Wow, I'm really dipping. Like that was a whole foot on the hipster side of things.
So it's not authentic. So it's not authentically bootleg or authentically inauthentic. Okay, got it.
Yeah, you need authentic bootlegs from Asia with all the poisonous inks in it and dyes, you know.
I can feel my nipples shriveling up a little bit already.
It was about as authentic as our German chicken restaurant we went to in Frankenmuth where no one could speak German. Oh my god. Oh great, the great best That's chicken sad. I ever had, but oh my god. Everyone's in their German outfits, you know, doing their thing. It's like, okay, tell me something in German, and nobody could speak German. It's like, really?
Not even a little Guten Tag here and there? Come on, guys.
No. No, it's like, oh my gosh, come on. But anyway, so we're discussing the Moomin shop, Moomin fandoms. Okay,
yeah.
What's next?
Was there any little points you wanted to touch on that we haven't touched on yet? Or
no, I just want to mention it because I know that somebody significant in your life is Moomin crazy. So I thought, let's mention that.
Fair enough. I want to hijack the next one. Tell me if you guys have heard of this one. So last time we had this episode, we discussed the mermaid fandom a little bit, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Kind of in symmetry with that, have you guys heard about like the dollification fandom?
Dollification. Yep. Yes.
Was that one you actually may have had on your list there, Fleeks?
No.
Ah, okay.
No, because it's a very specific fandom.
It is a very specific fandom. And it's... Unlike Moomin, it's really not affiliated with, like, you know, furry, anthropomorphized anything whatsoever. So it's a big diverge from, you know, what we're even used to.
Yeah, but some furries integrated. I actually know one artist that does things in that genre.
I think I've seen that too. But dollification is where people will put on copious amounts of makeup or various other... I don't want to say like plastics, but like rubberized substances or poly. I don't remember what it is.
Polyether.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they make themselves look as much like a Barbie doll as possible.
Oh. And
to me, it takes a normal person and throws them into the uncanny valley. Like. Again, not really actually criticizing here, but like I think maybe China dolls in general already kind of make me really uncomfortable, and dolls just kind of don't really... Dolls are kind of weird to me, guys. I'm going to put that out there in the first place.
There are a lot of horror movies with cursed dolls and stuff, so... Yeah.
Annabelle,
and
they
look lifeless.
I'll tell you, when I was a Grifflet and I went to my grandmother's house, okay, she had a doll room, and... Whenever the whole family was over there for Christmas, I had to sleep in, you guess it, the doll room. So going to sleep with all those eyes staring at you every night is like a medieval torture fest for a child.
Oh, I promise you. I promise you. At least 40% of those dolls were haunted.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, with if somebody makes himself look like a doll, I mean, dolls look inanimate and lifeless, and if they start to move, that creeps one out. It's just natural, I think. Hello?
So why do old ladies love them so much?
Because back in their day, dolls and things like that were super intricate, super ornate. And obviously they're still handmade, which is why they're still worth so much money today.
Mm.
Because they're handmade, handcrafted, and it took a lot of effort just to make one doll. So there would be people who would specialize in creating these dolls, and they'd be worth a lot of money. So dolls were not only a status symbol in that age, but also to give one to your child meant a lot.
And that's practically the old version of action figures, because that's just what it was like. They collected it. They had it as kid. They did not have like internet or a lot of the electronic toys we have today. I think they haven't had.
Are you sure? Electronic. Hang on, Fleeks. Hang on.
Hmm?
I am pretty sure they had internet in the early 1900s.
Uh-huh.
All craziness aside, I think we all should have a moment of silence just real quick. Toys R Us. It's really sad that it's one of my cultural icons as a kid growing up in the US, and they are worldwide too, but was going to Toys R Us and buying action figures or train sets, or my favorite thing was Legos and Hot Wheels, and they're going out of business. And it's real sad when you see things of your childhood go away.
We've kind
of
seen it coming for a little bit, though.
They
haven't been doing well for the past 8 years.
Yeah,
they haven't been managed very well, but still, it's always sad. I'll always be a Toys R Us kid at heart.
I think that the Germans one will stay, though, because Toys R Us is even a thing in Germany, and they don't seem like they go away.
Well, each country sort of has its own corporate HQ, so I know for right now the American division's closing, and I think the Canadian division's closing too.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Europe. Maybe you'll be right.
I mean, the Amazon and eBay and stuff, they are very, very, very huge competition, and they're probably eating up more like offline shops in the future.
Yeah. Last time, like, it wasn't actually that long ago, I went into a Toys R Us just to kind of browse around. I kind of caught myself a few times, like, price checking on Amazon, being like, I'll just order that online.
Yes.
I just realized that I was part of the problem.
Well, yeah. No, it also was that when they were taken over by a group of investors about 5 years ago, they saddled the company with so much debt. They couldn't get out of it. So it was bad debt management combined with bad pricing strategy combined with, you know, when you maintain a retail store, you have higher overhead than Amazon. That's just the God's honest truth.
Mm.
You got to pay for all those employees and leases and whatnot. So, you know, you and I and Fleeks and our generation, we're part of the problem because we'll price check and just order the shit online. But also managing your debt wisely is critical as well. I mean, Walmart's still making money hand over fist, and they got stores everywhere. So
yeah, they also had all those stores pretty much pre-established. They're pretty much widespread across the U.S., so they're easy access. And they kind of compete with Amazon at this point on inventory. If Amazon has it, we need to have it too.
Yeah.
So strategy is the make the customers not have to wait 2 to 3 or even a week for shipping kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can just run it to Walmart and grab it.
That's what I wanted to say. If I go to an offline shop to buy and something, it's because I'm impatient, because I want to have something like a video game or like what I mostly buy still offline are video games, like, because I can trade them for old ones and Except of course I buy them like on my Wii U, and then I go the digital version. But I still prefer most of the time I prefer to have the actual game in my hands. You know what I mean? So I can trade it later again.
Yeah.
And this will be my last.
Go ahead. Sorry.
This will be my last comment on this before we go back to the proper topic. But you know, I don't know about you guys, but Walmart's gotten brutal with their online sales. I mean, I've to the point where I'm ordering almost everything if I'm going to get it through like an Amazon type website from them, because you get free 2-day shipping. And if they can't get it to you in 2 days, you can pick it up in store next day most of the time. And they're undercutting Amazon on freaking everything. It's definitely they're out for blood. They know that their future's at stake. So they are throwing punches. And with the fact that you can pick up the shit the next day or same day in many cases at your local Walmart, it's hard to compete against that.
And I'm still not a fan of Walmart. I will avoid shopping there if at all possible. But and that's simply because they still don't even pay their employees, you know, close to a fraction of a living wage. God.
Walmart. All I gotta say to that core is look up Amazon's warehouse condition. You take one art and research that, and you will hesitate to buy from Amazon.
That is true too. They are kind of in that same bucket together.
I say like Walmart totally flopped in Germany. Like they tried to establish themselves here, but Germans did not like the American concept, and then Walmart Germany got bankrupt.
Yeah.
Do your research.
It happens. Yeah, yeah. Some countries like the little stores versus the big giant buy everything you could fucking want in one building. So
capitalism is definitely a mindset and not a fact, I guess.
Well, you know, actually, guys, I can kind of lead that into something if you want to roll with it.
If you have a fandom for us.
A capitalism fandom.
Lead us on. A capitalism.
No. Of course, close.
Call it
but
America.
Actually, it shopping. The act of shopping. And I'm not trying to be cheesy here, but there actually are groups that have made shopping in a way a fandom. It truly is. Some people buy too much and habitually return items.
Yeah,
Some people will go and they'll be like, okay, I need to buy, you know, this pair of shoes for my daughter. And they'll go to these online groups and they'll tell them, oh, this store has it, or this store has it, or this store has it. It's not a traditional fandom in the sense that everyone goes to conventions, but in a way it kind of is. Because there are people that get together and have clubs regarding this stuff.
And coupon cutters, too.
Yeah, couponers. Oh God, yes. I wanted to say couponers. They are a really established kind of...
For the past, like... Fleeks, you might have to actually restart again. You're cutting out. But for, like, the past 2 minutes there, Fleeks was, like, ooing and awing as you were talking about it. Like, he had something to interject there.
Yes, the couponers. I had to inject the couponers.
Like, he had an internal itch he had to shout.
Yeah, they're called, and I don't know how they do it, but for at least for a while until I think shops got smarter, they used coupons like discount coupons to sometimes even get money back from the shop, because they... I don't know how they did it, but they bought a whole stash of things. I'm not even sure if they actually
because
need it.
Because the way it works is most coupons do not go through the store itself. They go through the manufacturer of the product. So the manufacturer of the product will send a promotion to the store, and the store will honor that coupon. So, yes. And sometimes there's some crossover where the store might also have a promotion going on like, you know, certain items and stuff like that. But when these crossovers happen, it's not the store losing money for selling the product. They're still making money from the product. Not as much, obviously. But it's the manufacturer basically paying the customer for using that coupon at that point.
And plus, the store does get a handling. It's usually like 5 cents, but they do get a small handling.
Yeah, and that's actually something that wouldn't be possible in Germany. because all our coupons say like not combinable with other discount actions, or
yeah, that's becoming not more common. It's limited to one per person.
Yeah, some stores are starting to do that more. Kohl's, you used to be able to, for example, stack coupons like it was going out of style. Because I love Kohl's. I shop there all the time. But now they've started to taper that down a bit. And hell, before they finally changed the policy, my grandfather, you know, rest his soul, used to go to Kohl's with coupons he found from the 90s. And they would still honor them because they had a policy where they would take expired coupons. It was amazing. Wow. But now the most common trick to coupons, and I don't do this much, but I've done it in the past with Walmart self-checkout. If I got like a buy one, get one free coupon for a food item, I'll, you know, scan it and put it in, but I don't put the coupon in the machine so that way it can come back a few more times, because the machine doesn't actually track whether or not you insert the coupon into the coupon slot.
And
there's lots of people that do that.
What you could do, most supermarkets and stuff, they have a policy that they take back anything. If you bring it back, they take it. No question asked. And they give you back the money. So you could get a one for one free, you know, two for one, and then bring one of that back and get the money back.
Depending on how their billing system is set up, I've actually seen that work. Walmart is actually sophisticated enough to where they would say they want both back. But some other stores, like the smaller mom and pop shops that don't track well, unfortunately, if you're not ethical, you probably could game it. I'm just being honest with you.
And there are some really good mom and pop shops that people do game. There was one actually in the city that I used to live in a few years ago. Little tiny, like... kind of a Mexican market almost, and they just had like it was kind of one of those like those shops in like you see in Japan, like where you barely have enough like room to like pass someone without brushing shoulders and bumping into the wall, into the shelf with others. They were just packed with food from everywhere, and they were a little like they had coupons that they would honor the manufacturer. They would honor their, weekly coupons. So you could go in there and double up on coupons and get more than half off of what you were buying.
Yeah. And, if you've got the patience to do it, I'm going to say this right now. You know, I'm all for saving a few bucks, and I got no problem if you've got a couple of coupons, you know, to save some money. But if I'm behind you at the grocery store, it's time for you to pay. And you take out 500 fucking coupons and start swiping them one by one, and then one doesn't go through and you tell them, put that item back, do this, do that, I secretly want to kill you. I'm sorry. it's not worth saving 3 cents on the loaf of bread. It was already on 99-cent bread. Fuck you. Pay the 3 cents. I mean, for fuck's sake.
Hey, you have to honor the cent. To get rich.
Yeah.
Also, if we can move forward from couponing. Actually no.
No, never. This is my life now. This is Coupon Cast.
your weekly couponing.
All of a sudden we get a bunch of old ladies.
We become the old lady podcast. Yeah, I'm not against that. I would actually if that was a service to them, I would do that. Absolutely.
but yeah, there's actually a fandom I think quite some of our listeners enjoy, and that's the Kaiju fandom, like where Godzilla and stuff are coming from.
That actually also integrates quite nicely into the furry fandom. BLFC 2017 was Kaiju themed.
And AC is actually movie monster themed this year, and I think Kaijus can be
that plays in quite well too.
actually we can go to the even broader fandom and the whole movie monster fandom. Like there's a really huge fandom about kaijus, werewolves, goblins, whatever. And
so is it called Kaiju fandom, or is just, or do you want to call it the movie monster fandom in general?
I think we should focus on the Kaiju fandom when I think about it, and Kaiju fandom is huge mutated animals, practically, and
okay.
People even built their own kaijus. Like a friend of mine even built his own red panda kaiju.
Yeah, I think Godzilla, Pacific Rim, or what was the other one? Shit, it was just on the tip of my tongue, and now it's gone.
Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Anyway, King Kong, maybe?
Yeah, King Kong as well.
Mm. And yeah, actually, there are a lot of fans that are really crazy about Godzilla. It's a lot of people, for them, it's just like a movie classic. And people really go crazy about kaijus. And that's
Cloverfield. The original Cloverfield. Sorry, it just popped into my head. Continue.
And I think every one of us kind of saw Godzilla movies or other kaiju movies as kids, and there are a lot of movies. Oh my god, like Godzilla versus Mothra, or how, I don't even know all the names, because somehow Godzilla has like so many enemies.
Well, if you're honest, if you go to Japan, there's like 10,000 of them, because they make one every 3 months over there, and they're all kind of cheeky and awesome in their own way.
Yeah.
My grandfather, fun fact, absolutely loved Godzilla, and he didn't care if the movie was in Japanese and didn't have subtitles. He would watch it just to see the cheesy Godzilla come through, even if it was low budget and scare all the people. He just loved that stuff. So I grew up watching a lot of it.
Yeah.
Godzilla, Mothra, Godzilla 2000, Ghidorah.
Oh, no, don't come
with Godzilla 2000. Destroy-o-ya.
People are hating.
Oh, come on. What was your favorite Godzilla movie that actually made it to the U.S.?
Oh, that was the one that I was a little more recent. Fuck, what the hell was it called?
The one with Jeff Goldblum? Was it the one with Jeff Goldblum?
No.
It wasn't the U.S.ification of it. It was the one that was made in Japan, and then the U.S. Had a bit of a showing for it. Let me get it pulled up. One sec.
Hey, I actually liked the one. You know, call me a hater. It's fine.
It was entertaining,
I don't care.
Yes.
The one with Jeff Goldblum was good in its own way. I'm not going to say it was the best, but it was good in its own
way. Yeah, but I think Godzilla fans got very disappointed about it, because Godzilla was suddenly just like an
Shin Godzilla.
Asexual.
It came over to the U.S., I think, as Godzilla Resurgence, maybe? Tentative? But Shin Godzilla, it was all subtitled and everything, but that was a good Godzilla movie if there ever was one, and there was once, but that was a good one too.
Yeah, I heard, and I haven't seen the recent one, but people were really crazy about it, and a lot of fan art was flooding the gallery.
What do you think of King Kong?
King Kong is a classic.
Would King Kong qualify?
Yes, absolutely. They are coming out with the King Kong versus Godzilla, which we are totally not shilling right now because nobody wants to give us money like that. but I'm actually a little hyped for that movie. It's an Americanization of it, but in fairness, Japan did also Japanize King Kong a few times. I'm a little hyped for it.
Fucking deal.
But it's going to be a little weird because King Kong canonically is like a third of the size of Godzilla. He ain't that big. Godzilla stands over the Empire State Building. King Kong climbed it.
Yeah. He's just an oversized gorilla, practically, King Kong.
Yeah, well, still, I'm naturally King Kong versus Godzilla. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to root for King Kong, just because if King Kong is that much smaller, you know, got to root for the underdog a little bit.
But what I kind of saw in the whole kaiju fandom, also called macro fandom and stuff, they kind of enjoy to draw their character as big as possible. Sometimes they are even bigger than planet Earth, and I'm thinking like, yeah, have fun breathing oxygen in space. Like,
oh, that ain't a problem at that point.
Yeah, I think
the fact that their gravity is literally twice the size of the Earth, that's the problem. They're gonna cannonball us straight into the sun, and then we're dead. Good job, macros. Thanks. Super.
And what do they eat?
Hey! I'm a
moons.
There's a macro. there's a macro version of Storm, and it's a lot of fun to march around and do some of the naughtiness once in a while. As for what they eat, oh, who the hell knows? You know, radioactive Kentucky Fried Chicken, for all I know. But it's really, it's a lot of fun.
I'm just imagining a giant woodpecker pecking skyscrapers. Like, that's
what?
That's terrifying would it be, and adorable.
Would it be, you know how there was an old Sucker song, how many licks to get to the middle? Well, so for the woodpecker, would it be how many pecks to knock the skyscraper over?
Yeah, like I said, it would be as adorable as terrifying.
Yeah, for macro sneaks, what, four pecks, maybe five if it's a really well-made building? God.
At least macro core would be like easily to be like brought away, like just throw out all the reserves of giant Cheetos like over the horizon, and he's
again
drawn to
why
it.
Cheetos. I keep saying
you know, that I was thinking the first thing core would probably be, the first thing core would probably blow up is the Cheeto factory, just because he's so sick of being associated with Cheetos.
For fuck's sake. Why even?
Yeah, that you brought it about yourself with that one the one day.
The Cheeto portation thing.
When the Cheeto was laying under the bed. Yes.
Yeah, goddammit.
And you appeared there suddenly, and from then on, it's practically your ability.
Yeah. Yes. All right, so aside from macro slash kaiju, what else we got?
I have a fandom that is, was also very there, how do I say, very present in our bird sheds. In the, I think you have an idea what I'm going to core, and a very present fandom.
Wait, no.
No, not over. That's very present too, but let's not talk about that. Instead, yeah, the
fandom really.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh my god!
They really built a fandom, and it's surprising that this fandom didn't pop up earlier, because JoJo is around since the 80s. The manga was made in the 80s, and there was even an older anime adaptation in the 90s with very cheesy American dubs.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and
Okay. So for the record, my groan of JoJo when he was like that, it wasn't so much like I dislike the JoJo, like I haven't really watched it, so I can't really have an opinion of it for that matter. It is just very prevalent at this point.
Yes. And that's why I think it's a fandom we can talk about. Because it's so dominant. And actually, I watched it, and I have to admit, I'm a huge fan, because this is practically the mother of all shonen anime, practically, and or the father, I don't know. And it's like overdrawn, over-masculine men that are fighting each other with special abilities that are kind of crazy. And I really love how well... What the author came up with, like one of the abilities is, for example, that this person can stop time for exactly 5 seconds or 2 seconds. It increases a bit, and then there is one stand ability that's actually I will explain what the stand is later, but one ability is, for example, that they can collect everything they want. Like they have like tiny insects that are collecting. If they say, yeah, collect all the coins in the city, and they can get rich through that if they are lost, you know, they can just
that's
get
just
everything.
Cheating. That's just cheating. Yeah. Collect all the bullets in the city. Well, now or you're impervious.
Or another ability is like that.
And then the 5 second freeze time thing, that just reminds me of the one very underfeatured character in Dragon Ball Z during the Frieza saga, who could freeze time as long as he could hold his breath.
Oh, I forgot about this, to be honest.
Yeah, he's a very clever character, in my opinion. But yeah.
Anyway,
freeze time and hold his breath. That's actually two very useful. Very useful skills. Really.
It's like a really cool self-imposed limitation.
My point is they are almost like a bit like Japanese superheroes, but they have very thought out abilities with advantages and disadvantages. Like that, it's kind of a bit balanced, you know, and yeah, and stands are practically kind of your fighting spirit that materializes in another kind of character behind you. And yeah, the fandom goes really crazy with creating their own stands, for example. Even I did something like that. And what would be my question is what kind of ability would you have if you were like a character in that episode and a super masculine fighting bird?
I'm gonna stick with the cheetah portation. I'm happy with that. I don't like cheetos, but it's a useful tool.
And what would be your stance name? It's mostly like band names or song names. And how would your stand look like?
Let me get back to you on that.
Like? Yeah. And Storm, what would be your special ability?
I'm gonna be boring and say controlling the weather. And yeah. You know, with that ability, I also would add on, you know, the fact that Storm's feathers would be waterproof for obviously very useful reasons. So yeah, controlling the weather.
Yeah, so liquids would just like be denied touching your body.
Yeah, they would just flow right off without hurting the feathers.
So your disadvantage is you can shower really.
No.
Yeah. Preening. Oh. Preening takes extra love in this scenario, I guess.
In this scenario, I really don't want to be Storm's roommate.
Who's to say I don't have a special spell or something I can say when I'm taking a shower?
I mean, Kor's disadvantage is that he can't really control where he gets teleported and that he needs a Cheeto to teleport. So you could just kind of smuggle a Cheeto in your enemy's pockets and then your final move is teleporting there and finishing him off.
So Kor will always have a thin layer of Cheeto dust on him in this theory.
God, yeah, it's horrible.
That may be a disadvantage too. But
at least I can bird bath.
Oh, good stuff, good stuff. Are you guys
So while we discovered that Kor can teleport to anywhere a Cheeto is, we did also discover that Kor can teleport to any when a spicy Cheeto is. But I have literally no control over like where I pop out.
That's practically your Requiem, and JoJo fans will know what I mean. Like, and like your even bigger power that awakes after a while, you know.
Okay. Go ahead.
That poor Cheeto. Oh my god, the things you violated with it.
And also, because to make it complete, I put more thoughts on it and I wasn't put on the point like I put you on. I have a stand I called Pecking Order, and it can just like fix people to other people or like glue them to things practically, and the more people the disadvantage is the more people fleeks there's a stand practically pins to something, the weaker the pin goes, so they can actually like get free.
The moment you said pins something, like, okay, have you played Super Mario Odyssey yet, Fleeks?
No, I haven't. Don't spoiler me.
It's not a big spoiler, but there's one ability you can take control that is a woodpecker. I think I've shown it to you before. But the way he works is he shoves his beak out and pins himself into the wall, and then you can like flick him down to make him spring upwards, like to go high up in the air. It's adorable, but that's exactly what
I'm talking about. Oh my god, now I need to get it, especially because I freaking want to be a woodpecker. But why can't he just fly? Why can't they just fly to woodpeckers?
I don't know. It's a Mario enemy.
Yeah.
So, For our first question of the day, let's see. Question is from Peter Corkley. And Peter asks, yes, the famous peacock. The question is, what is the official song you sing on your hatch day?
I don't sing songs on my hatch day. I mean,
neither do I, and don't sing to me, please.
I sing, I'm boring. I took the happy birthday song and just tweaked it to be happy hatch day to you. You know, nothing too crazy, but.
I think it's not too bad if people sing happy birthday to you in a restaurant or something when you're wherever you are, if you're not partying at home, because then the people notice, oh, there's somebody who has birthday, and you may get something for free.
Yes, most restaurants by me do that. If you come in I've got a time to where, you know, some restaurants you have to be there the day of your birthday, sometimes it's the week of your birthday, sometimes it's the month of your birthday. So for the entire month of my hatch day, I'm just getting free shit. It's great.
He takes it full advantage. You heard of Joe's Crab Shack?
Yes, I have.
That's my favorite restaurant. Used to have one.
Okay, tell me more.
But if you go there during your birthday, they make effort to embarrass you. Like, not only do they come out doing the whole singing and clapping thing, but they'll, like, go an extra mile. Like, I had some friends take me there for my birthday, like, 2 or 3 years ago. Never again. And they made me stand up on the table, gave me an inflatable air guitar, or a guitar, and made me wear this giant-ass goofy hat. And they started singing this song, and every time they froze, I would have to shout, "I'm a rock star!" Or they would just sit there and stare at you until you did it.
Oh my god.
In my Joe's Crab Shack, it depends what... They did all kinds of silly shit like that. Some, they would give you salt and pepper shakers that you had to shake around the restaurant while you did the Macarena. Some you had to do like these weird Olympian hoop-de-hoop things, and depending on how good you did it would dictate how many points you got for a prize. And I loved that place. Sadly, it just closed.
I will give them one piece of credit, though. They do give you a piece of their chocolate, like their devil chocolate cake. Oh my god, that is the best chocolate cake I've ever had.
Hey, do you have children birthday at McDonald's?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah,
I kind of miss that because I can't do this anymore. I got awesome free stuff. And one McDonald's, they don't have it anymore. They have an part of a train. How is it called? Where the passengers just sit in. The part of the train where the passengers sit in.
Caboose.
How is it called? A wagon.
Oh, is not caboose. I think we just call them passenger compartments.
Yeah, a passenger compartment that was taken out of, out of...
Oh, that was converted into a McDonald's?
It was converted in a booth before McDonald's, where the children birthdays were held in. And it was amazing, because you were only with your friends in there, and you could order one burger after another, I wasn't realizing that actually... Your parents have to pay for that, but yeah.
But no, for you as a child, it was a magical experience.
Yeah, it was free burgers.
I got friends that work at McDonald's, and one of the things I like that they do for their birthday is when you're an employee, you get a McDonald's cake on your birthday. And it's a nice size sheet cake with Ronald McDonald on it doing his thing, of course. But man, that cake's actually pretty fucking good. It really is.
They have a damn good cake. Yeah, that was free at least. And the tiny gifts, I got a water bottle with fake fur on it. Like those adventurer bottles, you know. Those almost flask, but they are round.
All right, cool. So this week we've talked about the Moomin fandom, the Kaiju fandom, the birthday fandom. Should we move on to questions?
That's where we have been.
That's where we are now.
Yeah, next we are in the middle of it.
All right.
Next question comes from Moriar, and the question is, what is the chief export of Burdania?
Seed.
I'll let Fleek start with.
Feathers.
No, no. Actually, they don't export anything or import.
We make lots of pillows.
Oh, my God.
I would think
hey, birds molt, why waste?
I would think feathers and seeds pretty good, too, but I would think feathers and
seeds would be the import, dude.
If they would trade, then
exotic
gold
seeds from
mined
all
by
the
griffins,
world.
They would probably they are also very good in making machines. I think like very not very professional ones, but they work. You know, like making from scrap, building machines from scrap, and I think they are good in building lift. Elevators, you know.
So it gets interesting because Fleeks and I both have our own version of Burdania. I'm trying to play off of his a little bit more, but in my version, it's more of a closed loop society where they don't really have a lot of imports exports that aren't just
product
things. I mean, we have the Telebat system.
Okay. Yeah, realistically, though, for
do you want new clothes?
Reason.
Telebat. Need to get mail to your boss? Telebat. Continue, sorry.
Moriar also asks, when were there owls?
What? When were there owls?
Yes, he literally asked, when were there owls?
That's probably
for eternity.
Fraternity, yeah.
Let's owls say, predate everything.
I probably
and they will don't. Live past everything. They are the eternal beings.
And they're very cute.
And my first Spud is half owl. So he was at NFC lately.
Yeah. And it's very good looking fursuit too.
And and this owl will also be at Anthrocon if I can get my fursuit over there.
Regday asks, will Raptor Jesus appear on the podcast as a guest?
Wait, hang on.
If we can find him. But he's not very talkative, and every time I asked Raptor Jesus to join our podcast, he was kind of only giving me this roar thing.
Yes, he will be joining us on a future podcast, but the date is to be determined based on heavily players and his busy schedule.
And when we get a time machine, because I kind of think he lived at dinosaur times.
Hey, I have a personal connection with him. This will happen. Trust me. Fleeks and I, we got this down.
I've got nothing to contribute. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, Core likes raptors and...
Raptor Jesus
I
is my boy.
Just... Yes.
If Raptor Jesus is your boy, you aren't going to be on board for getting him here? Come on.
I absolutely am. I just don't have any funny comments to contribute. I can't. I'm drawing blanks here, guys. Like,
we could just invite Sane, and then we could just pretend Sane is Raptor Jesus. Nobody would like.
We'll dress him up in white garbs and a sash.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sparhawk asks, is flag football an extreme sport for birds?
What kind of football?
Flag football.
What is flag football?
It's like Mario Kart of football.
Yes, you wear a belt around you, and instead of being tackled, you've got to grab the belt and pull it off. Or the flag and pull it off the belt.
And where's the ball in this game?
Someone's carrying the ball.
Yeah, you still play football. Yeah. It's just instead of tackling, you have the belt with the flags on it. And you yank a flag off in order to, quote unquote, tackle them.
Basically, so this is what the NFL is going to turn into in 2050.
Actually, not against that. Flag football was a lot of fun in school, man.
Yeah, I had
it combined all of my favorite elements of tag and all of my favorite elements of running.
So it's practically football with less broken bones.
Significantly.
In theory, yes.
Yeah, no sport comes, no sport is without broken bones.
For me, flag football, you know, Bird would be flying around to play the game. So I think it would actually be, as long as the snap releases were designed correctly, it would be the same. It would be fun. I don't think it would be extra dangerous for birds.
But they would also fly if they can fly, if that right. makes physically sense in their universe, like yes. lower gravity or something. I don't know.
Right. Anor Soker asks, have I been playing too much Warframe? Handshake from lack of controller in them.
No, I don't think so. They've done really well with that game. Either. Keep on. Just don't forget to eat and drink water every now and then.
Eclipse Griffin asks, party for 1 minute like it's 1999.
What was celebratable in 1999 exactly?
So here, I'm going to party in 1999. AOL is disconnected. That was my 1999.
Have you imitated Darth Vader for a moment?
I imitated my computer dialing up to AOL and sucking at it, but that was it.
Oh, it was a 56K modem.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I don't even know what's then, happening anymore.
And then you finally get connected and your freaking mother picks up the phone to call grandma. And it's like, damn it, mom, I was downloading an email.
You got mail. You're online.
You're offline. Wait, you want to watch a video? Come back in 4 hours. Party like it.
Yeah, that's the 90s.
Woo-hoo!
Or is it more the 80s? I'm not entirely sure.
No, that's 90s. 99, baby.
Yeah,
he asked for 1 minute of this. I'm giving him 1 minute.
Man.
But yeah, my room would be surely be decorated with AOL CDs, CD-ROMs.
Oh,
like they made a cool decoration and we took like.
Oh, that reminds me, Cora. Do you remember when AOL CDs blanketed the country?
Oh God, yeah.
There was like.
Do you remember when every
of
box of Chex Mix came with Chex Game? Chex Quest.
No, I don't.
I actually kind of want to do a let's play of Chex Quest just because that was. All it was Doom reskinned as Chex characters.
Oh, man. Party time.
And that was 1 minute.
And yeah. What did I want to say?
that sums up the 90s for me. It really does. Yeah. And shitty digital cable. Yeah, just coming out. Yeah, that was an adventure.
AOL CDs are totally what made my 90s, and I like got a whole stash of them, and then I used them as decoration in my room. Like
I know people cool. that had free AOL for years because they would get an AOL CD, do the free trial, get rid of that, get another AOL CD, do another free trial.
Oh yeah, that was pretty much exactly how we would do it. But AOL was so shitty. It was the worst.
What? AOL Messenger.
I don't know about that, Core. I tried MSN for 3 months back in 1997, and it was...
Yeah, that was pretty bad, too. And then Earthlink came around, and I remember Earthlink being like a godsend among these horrible dial-up companies.
And then
mine was Juno.
At some time, Arcor came with DSL, and everything went better.
DSL saved the world.
Yes. At the very end, I went to Juno, and then after Juno, I went to AT&T DSL, and I've been having either DSL or cable internet ever since, thank God.
I remember it would take something like 5 to 10 minutes to download 2 megabytes.
Yeah,
you can't believe how happy I, how incredible happy I was when internet was like, what, you can be in there forever? While your mom telephones? While you can be in the internet like 3 persons at the same time? You can be unlimited in there and you don't have to pay horrible sums? Oh my god. But I kind of missed the dial-up sound. It didn't feel like going into the internet anymore. Like
it was like a teleportation thing.
Sad,
yeah.
Even more sad is I have clients that still use AOL right now. Now they have high-speed internet for their house, but they still use that goddamn AOL desktop client to check their email and surf the web. It's like, oh my god.
Nice job with the emphasizing with Nox. I should do that too for every point word I say.
Hey, I throttled my microphone earlier.
Well, I mean, if you really want to, we can double knock every point. I mean, we can just keep increasing it.
I want to join this party.
Okay, I'm done. Do we want to wrap up, or is there one more question?
One more question. Final question for today. Question is
final question.
Okay, go ahead.
How do you feel about folks craning your tail? Question comes from Moria.
That's a very private spot.
It's a pretty private spot.
I personally, as long as you ask, I'm down for it. It's mutual.
You also have a tail that protrudes from the base quite a bit further. We just have feathers. So if you're preening feathers, your beak's all up in our business.
Yeah.
So what? You don't want your cloaca getting cleaned? Is that what it's about?
Not by strangers. Robitussin.
See, for me, I personally, as long as permission is sought and obtained, I'm down for a lot of stuff. But if you just walk up, and I'm talking to Ucor, for example, and someone walks up and decides, ooh, Storm's tail needs preening, and starts preening it, you're going to get a face full of beak.
Boop. So you kiss them?
Oh, well, sure. We'll go with that, Fleeks. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stick to the neck and the head.
Yep. Exactly. Or the nether regions. Anyways.
That's what we just established. Anyways. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you like this episode and you want to support the show, you can always help us out on Patreon, patreon.com/birdlifepodcast. You can donate as little as $1 a month, and seriously, every dollar helps. We really appreciate it. Helps keep the servers alive, helps keep us ad-free, helps keep Storm mildly contained.
Yes, mildly.
Only
mildly. I get shiny things.
You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, pretty much anywhere except Spotify at this point. And that's just because I haven't tried for Spotify or the RSS feed. Anyways, thank you for joining us. And remember, always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be squirking, dirking, chirping, and burping. And then beep at the end.
Yep, sum it up with a beep.
I forget the beep.
There were no bloopers this week, so please enjoy 1 full minute of the Blackbird's song.